Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So over the last 2 days, as you may have been hearing, the WNYC newsroom has brought you the results of a 9-month investigation into construction safety practices in New York City. Our Cindy Rodriguez and Matthew Sherman reported the story entitled The Cost of Doing Business. The story begins with a look into the death of construction worker Jose Palacios, a Mexican immigrant construction worker who fell to his death earlier this year on a construction site in Brooklyn. Cindy's and Matthew's investigative reporting turned up some hidden horrors. The city has weekly inspection rules in place for mid to high rise sites, but the inspections don't seem to always get done. And the fines for the broken safety rules that may have been related to Palacio's death amounted to only $1,600. That's why the title is The Cost of Doing Business. In the piece, we meet Jose Palacio's niece, Yasmin Solis.
He's always been a very, very happy person. No matter how he was, he would always smile. He was a person that would never turn anyone away. He would always talk to anybody.
And after Palacios' death, details about the shoddy nature of the construction site began to emerge. Richard Mendelson, the director of New York's Occupational Safety and Health Administration, had this to say.
Ties, guys, braces, or outriggers to prevent the tipping of a supported scaffold were broke, and they were not sufficiently strong. What was specified to be used at that job site, ironically, was not put in place. They had the correct ties, and for whatever reason, they didn't have the correct tool to install those ties.
Well, the sad story is that Jose Palacios is not just an isolated victim. He is part of a larger trend of victims of unsafe conditions at work sites around the city. And here to discuss the Palacios story more and their investigation generally into construction site safety are WNYC's Cindy Rodriguez and Matthew Sherman. Matthew and Cindy, thanks for coming on the Brian Lehrer Show and talking about this, too. This is amazing work that you guys have done. And, Cindy, is there anything about Palacio's particular status as an illegal immigrant that contributed to the circumstances of his death?
Well, Brian, I would say that there's two possible things to look at. One is that Mr. Palacios didn't have the training that was required to be working on this scaffold. The city requires this 4-hour training course. Now, immigrant advocates that advocate on behalf of day laborers would say that a lot of these immigrants don't really have the same access to these training courses that, say, a unionized worker might have. So they have been petitioning the city to get money to actually do the courses for the workers themselves because they feel like the workers are not going to be willing to go out to actual courses that they deem to be government run. They also may not be able to afford the courses. They may not be able to understand the courses, so there are those problems in place. And the other thing is that undocumented workers sometimes are willing to take bigger risks than say, your average worker. They have financial strains on them. They're supporting families back home. That comes into play as well. And they also don't really know that they're taking the risks if they're not properly trained.
And, Matthew, he was not a union worker. Do you know if that site was completely not unionized?
From what we know, Brian, it was not unionized, and that's not unusual. A lot of the developments in the outer boroughs tend to be small jobs, and they tend not to be unionized. The unions don't quite have the pull that they do in Manhattan with the big construction companies and big developers.
And what's the relationship between that and safety?
Brian, if you look, we actually have a presentation here that OSHA made, and what they show is that, in their analysis at least, they took a year or a couple of years of accidents and looked at who was unionized, who wasn't. 73% of the accidents were involved non-union workers, and just 27% involved unionized workers. I should say that this year, 2008, was actually a pretty exceptional year in that about in that this breakdown was about half and half. And that's a largely due to the fact that there were two major crane accidents. Crane crews tend to be unionized. But generally speaking, yes, more non-unionized workers get killed on the job than unionized.
And Cindy, tell us more about Jose Palacios in context. Is his story typical of many other construction workers in the city? Is this site typical of many sites?
Well, Brian, as you played to start off this segment, you heard Jose Palacios' niece, Yasmin Solis, talk about him. She talked about how he was a very good-natured person. She has two small kids. The two small kids talked, you know, they missed their uncle, and they spoke very well about him and how he used to play with them. He came here in 2005. This was the first job that he took since he got here, so he was working pretty steadily with Bell Tower. So he wasn't, let's say, your typical day laborer that goes on different jobs on a weekly, sometimes daily basis. But some of the things are typical about him. His niece talked about how for him to miss a day's worth of work would be a strain because he was supporting a teenage daughter and a wife back in Mexico.
Here's a comment from our comments page. Someone writes, "No one disputes that there are safety issues at New York City construction sites as builders try to hold down the cost of business by cutting corners and hiring illegal immigrant labor. But as you examined in an earlier show, they say there is also the problem of workers putting themselves in harm's way by showing up on sites unable to read or speak English, which is the cost of circumventing the legal immigration process." Anything you would say to that listener?
Well, as Matthew was saying, some of what the listener is saying is true about the language. I mean, the OSHA report that Matthew cited also says that about 82% of accidents involve people who don't speak English as their first language. But OSHA and I believe the city would also say that it's the contractor who is ultimately responsible for making sure that their employees are properly trained. And also the developer, I think the Department of Buildings would say, the developer is also responsible for making sure that their work sites are safe.
Now, Matthew, I think the part of the story that I found the most troubling is that the fines for, I think the comparison you used was the fines
right.
for failing to post a calorie count at a fast food restaurant are higher than the fines for failing to adhere to some of the safety regulations that were actually violated at this site where Palacios died?
That's right, Brian. I should say that the fines for failing to post calorie counts can be up to $2,000. They range between $200 and $2,000. And by contrast, putting up a scaffold without a permit, which is what happened in this case, and that's why the scaffold collapsed so easily. It was held together with picture wire. That fine was $800 when this accident happened. It's now $1,200. So that gives you a sense. Now, I'm sure the health department would say, hey, in order to bring multinational companies like McDonald's to heel, we've got to, you know, pump up the fines a lot. But what you have to realize here is that, you know, condominium builders are not selling hamburgers. They're selling, in this case, condominiums that range in price from $650,000 to $3 million. So the penalties have to pack a punch.
Right. But, you know, what's so outrageous to me here, Cindy, is that this story did not come out of nowhere. The Daily News did a similar investigation on earlier, you know, construction site accidents a year or two ago. We had those investigative reporters on. The Bloomberg administration said they reacted to the crane accidents that consumed the city for a period of time by upping the number of inspectors, by upping the amount of inspections that are required, the number of inspections. And yet here we are again, and you have found that even things that have been promised by the city are not taking place?
Yeah, that's correct, Brian. I think Matthew and I have had this discussion about what the real problem is here. And I think that if you look at the DOB's history, it seems like it's a very reactive agency. So new rules come after someone dies. So, for instance, in the crane accidents, one of the slings broke. So now there's a law requiring that something be put in that sling so that the sling is safer to use. So instead of being so I think the DOB often finds itself in this position of reacting to accidents after they've already happened.
Now, I should say, Brian, that the DOB says, when I talked to them yesterday, they got back to us yesterday after the first part aired. We had put in calls a couple months ago, that they're no longer reactive. They're proactive. And they do have a sort of a point, but this is what happened, for example, in this case with the scaffold law. The City Council passed a law in 2005. It wasn't actually implemented until late 2006. Jose Palacios died in January of 2008. And then in February of 2008, they finally figure out, hey, no one's obeying this law. We got to do something. We got to start random inspections. And so they started then. So at this point, they're proactive on this one point, which is scaffold safety.
And we should mention that we reached out to the Department of Buildings also, and they declined to provide a guest for this segment. My guests are WNYC news reporters Cindy Rodriguez and Matthew Sherman, who have just completed a 9-month investigation and the 2-part report that aired yesterday and today called The Cost of Doing Business about deaths and safety violations at New York City construction sites. And let's take a phone call. Don in Manhattan is calling in and recalling something that we discussed about this topic previously. Hello, Don.
Hey, hi, Brian. Yes, it's great because you just kind of touched on the subject right now. Sometime back during when, I don't know if it was the second crane accident, the third one, whichever one it was, there was a guest you had on from, it was a woman, she was from some department, the mayor's mm-hmm. office of, well, I don't know what.
Yeah, it was, I know exactly who you're talking about
okay,
and what time, and she was Patricia Lancaster,
okay.
The buildings commissioner at the time.
Okay, she made a quote, and this is, as well as I can remember, it's practically verbatim, I think. She said, "We need to find a balance between public safety and growing the economy." Do you remember her saying that?
I absolutely do.
And to me, that just struck me at the time. I couldn't believe I was hearing that from a city official.
Right. Well, now, I don't want to put words in her mouth.
Well, those are her words.
Well, you know, again, I would, I mean, I say I remember her saying that, but, the way it comes out when you say it that way is, well, it's okay with us if some people die because that's just the necessary cost of doing business, like she was being cavalier about it. I certainly do not want to attribute that to Patricia Lancaster. But, Matt, there is a larger question here of this is a dangerous business, working construction. Even in the safest of circumstances, people are going to die. There is going to be a death rate that is greater than zero in the construction industry.
Sure.
Is any amount of construction death acceptable?
Sure. Brian, I think that's a question left up to the public. And the caller raises an interesting point. You know, again, officially, just to reiterate what I heard from the Department of Buildings' position now is that they say that construction and development can proceed safely. I think that we have to look at these deaths and say, hey, are these coming about, are these accidents preventable or not? And if you look at the list of the accidents that have happened over the past year, you see there's sort of a mixture. In this case, this was pretty preventable. If this scaffold was correct, if Jose Palacios and his crew had proper training, if they were not up there on that windy day, this would not have happened.
But where the Bloomberg administration's overall policy could really be called into question, Cindy, and where the question of, you know, whether they do accept tens or dozens of deaths as an acceptable cost of doing business is the amount of development around the city. There has been such a construction boom during the Bloomberg years, which now everybody's going to, you know, a lot of people are going to kind of lament when everything slows to a crawl or grinds to a halt in the down economy for other reasons. But they have so tried to push construction projects into the pipeline that I think it's fair to say it was just about inevitable that there would be an uptick in deaths because how could they police all that construction as effectively as possible?
Well, Brian, in all fairness, they also did increase the number of inspectors that they hired. So I believe since Mayor Bloomberg took office, I believe he's increased it by 66%. So that's still, you're right, it still doesn't keep pace with the construction boom, but there has been an effort to up the number of inspectors that are out there. The question is that enough, or does he need to up that even more?
I should also jump in, Brian, with one clarification here. We mentioned this in the report. A lot of people think construction deaths have increased. Frankly, from our point of view, we don't have the data to show that. We have a chart from OSHA showing construction deaths over the past 7 years. 7 years isn't long enough to see a trend line, and this trend line sort of looks like a mountain range. It went up to 15, 16, down, went up to 33 in 06, down to 14 in 07. Right now we're at 27. So if you look at 2 years, yes, almost twice as many deaths as last year. But if you start looking at the whole picture, for some, we can't say that for
maybe
sure.
Maybe the larger question statistically, and I don't know if you went back this far, is how many were there before the building boom started at the dawn of the Bloomberg administration, or maybe the late 90s when the economy really started to get good?
Exactly. OSHA doesn't keep records that far back, or we couldn't get them from them. And Buildings Department actually only gives out really data for, what is it, Cindy?
2006 was the last year.
Right.
All right. Now, in a minute, we'll tell you how you can help follow up and be watchdogs, be eyes and ears at construction sites, just as public citizens, private citizens who are public citizens who are walking down the street even or living nearby. But let's bring in another guest. This perspective comes from Aaron Brashear. He's a Brooklyn-based designer who's also a member of Brooklyn Community Board 7, and he's chair of the Buildings and Construction Committee on that community board. Aaron, welcome to WNYC.
Hi. Thank you very much, Brian.
What do you make of this story? Is construction safety something the people in your neighborhood are worried about, and what is your neighborhood?
The neighborhood I live in is Greenwood Heights, which kind of borders Greenwood Cemetery in South Brooklyn. Community Board 7 encompasses Windsor Terrace, South Park Slope, Sunset Park in our area. And, you know, the whole reason for my committee being formed by Brooklyn Community Board 7 was in response to the overwhelming number of people coming to the board office, to local elected officials, talking with community groups in the area about, you know, construction-related issues, the majority of which were safety issues.
And what are the most typical types of offenses that you see in your neighborhood?
Well, for the most part, while things certainly have slowed down a little bit due to the turn in the economy and the rezoning that we had in this area back in 2005, it's normally safety issues as they occur with adjacent properties, undermining of foundations, collapsing of foundations. Also, the risk in public safety to those who are actually out on the street by, improper netting being put up, falling debris, very cavalier loading and unloading of building supplies. And it's like when it leaves the job site, I think it concerns me most, because then we're not talking about job training or responsible building. It becomes very irresponsible because suddenly you're bringing the public into the foray.
Have you tried to do anything about this as a member of the community board?
Well, yeah, we have worked with very closely, as a matter of fact, with the Brooklyn Borough Office, the Department of Buildings, and I was actually very sad to see Commissioner Mossad go, but obviously we'll start a relationship with Commissioner Lee when he's, fully in. It turned from what somebody said earlier, from a very reactive agency in our borough to a very proactive agency in a lot of ways, where we could reach out to them and say, listen, we've had, we see on 311 that there are X number of complaints to this site. We've had the board offices have been contacted. We would like to supply you guys with information that you may not be able to get on your own. Or if you would like, we would like to kind of watchdog this particular site to make sure that you are paying attention to it at a level where the community and the community board feels comfortable.
Now, we have posted information on our website with instructions on how to look up building permits through the online DOB, Department of Buildings database. It's pretty straightforward, actually. So anyone can really investigate building safety in your neighborhood. Matthew Sherman, what are we asking folks to do?
Brian, they can go to WNYC.org and click on the Brian Lehrer Show. And there will be a link to the Department of Buildings database. I should say the Department of Buildings database is very transparent, has a lot of information that we got for this series actually came from there. And you'll see that there will be a field where you enter the address of the building, and then you click on that, and then there's a home page for each building. And at the bottom, there's a hyperlink to something called jobs filings. And that's where you can find find the open permits for the building, and that's where you can actually see that they didn't actually have at 525 Clinton Avenue, our building that we investigated, they didn't have a permit at the time of this accident.
We have posted these links with instructions on how you can help be eyes and ears for public safety and prevent more unnecessary deaths like the one of Jose Palacios that Matthew and Cindy reported on. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. You'll see the construction costs page. And Aaron Brashear, I'm going to give you the last word here. Do you see the economic slowdown as already slowing or halting construction within your neighborhood, your community board region in South Brooklyn? And do you think if construction does slow down, things will be more safe or perhaps even more hazardous as those still in the business are cutting more corners?
Well, I think, you know, Brian, it kind of goes both ways. When we were in the building boom that, you know, I must say was supported quite heavily by the Bloomberg administration. In fact, I find it kind of hypocritical later for the mayor to come back and say, oh, we're going to do everything in our power to make, you know, building in the city of New York the safest as possible. The slowdown will certainly curb the number of construction sites or rather active construction sites because we're seeing a lot of sites that have just basically been stopped. However, until there is greater oversight on the types of laborers who are being hired, and I certainly do not want to diminish the growth in the business due to, you know, immigrant labor in this area, but you've got job training that's an issue, you've got construction oversight from general contractors that's an issue, and ultimately, as I think the Department of Buildings has stated, although I've never seen them actually go out and prosecute, is the developers are the ones who are really pushing this. And if the market is going sour and suddenly they feel that they need to get their units built and on the market or in the rental market as soon as possible, then they're going to cut corners. And as we saw during the building boom, there's going to be endangerment to workers, to the public, and unfortunately probably further worker injury or worker death.
Aaron Brashear, Chair of the Buildings and Construction Committee on Community Board 7 in South Brooklyn, and WNYC investigative reporters Matthew Sherman and Cindy Rodriguez. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay tuned.